Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
All right, Bat fans, welcome back to Beyond the Batcave. I am your co-host, Taylor Jackson.
And I'm Andy Piper. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, welcome. We are very excited for our episode today. We hope you all had a fantastic Batman day. We know we did. And our episode today is kind of in a belated celebration of that day.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. We've got a fun little activity planned to celebrate the Dark Knight himself. And we're going to reminisce and recall some of his finer moments in history.
Yes. So, before that, we want to just touch on a couple big news drops. Relatively big. The first one, they're both pictures. So the first one that we're going to talk about is we get our first look at J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon in Justice League. So we just get a black and white photo. Who sent this out, Andy?
This is Zack Snyder. Zack tweeted Snyder. It out.
Sweet.
He's the only person that I have notifications enabled for on Twitter. So every single time he tweets something, it's like my world just stops spinning. And I go to my phone and I pull it out and I see something as beautiful as this. We see the bat signal in full glory on the roof of Gotham PD. And a young J.K. Simmons, well, not that young, an old J.K. Simmons, just looking like perfection. He just looks so good. I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
Take it, Taylor.
No, I think it's great. I like it a lot. We were kind of talking before this episode just about how, you know, it's a bit of an older Batman, so it has to be an older-looking Gordon, and he kind of has the look, and it looks great. One thought I just had, too, he's kind of looking off to where the signal is shining. I almost wonder, there's that covering that's been over the entrance or whatever. Yeah. I almost wonder how long it had been since they lit the bat signal before BVS. Because I wonder how long Batman had been a little extreme. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some good questions there because we didn't see a ton of Batman-specific world building
right.
in Batman v Superman. There were little Easter eggs here and there, but here's some questions. Like in Batman v Superman, we see Batman turn on the bat signal, but it's on top of some random abandoned building. How did it get there? Did he move it there himself, or was that where the Gotham police station used to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, my main thought in bringing that up too is, what if the GCPD had kind of become disenfranchised with the Batman, disenchanted, if you will?
Yeah.
And so they kind of cut ties for a while, and hence you have the entrance being covered. But now this is the first time Gordon's lighting it up again. And Gordon needs to talk with the Bat. And I don't know, maybe some restoration, maybe some healing on Batman's road to recovery.
Yeah, I mean, the synopsis of Justice League says that he's fueled by his restored faith in humanity. So that would imply that we're going to see a return to the status quo for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Gordon in the Batsignal.
Yeah, no one shares that faith like him and Gordon. I feel like that's kind of what brings
very
him
true.
Together.
A lot of my favorite Batman moments take place between Batman and Commissioner Gordon. Like, this isn't one of the moments I'm going to talk about later, but I remember there's an episode of Batman the Animated Series where it fades from my mind because I was a young lad when I saw this. But Batman and Gordon, they have like a New Year's tradition where they just get together and they like drink a cup of coffee every New Year's and just, here's a toast to the war on crime, and Batman like always disappears before he even touches his coffee pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a good moment they have. They have a friendship that's built on a mutual drive to eradicate crime. And that's really the one thing that bonds them together, because they don't know anything about each other. Or Gordon certainly doesn't know anything about Bruce Wayne and his life, you know, that he's leading as Batman. So it's just really good to see that Gordon is coming to life yet again.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. Let's see him in action. So.
And he'll be a little bit more world-weary as well, because we got to see that from Batman in Batman v Superman. He was tired of the world. He'd become jaded and cynical. I don't know that Gordon will be jaded and cynical, but he'll certainly be older, more experienced.
And kind of worn down by the world, you know, a little bit.
Exactly.
Probably like Batman, but in his own way. Probably copes differently.
Very cool. Anyway, if you haven't seen that photo, I highly recommend you go check it out. It could very well become your phone background. It's really cool looking. But yeah, that was not the only bit of goodness that Zack Snyder dropped on us this weekend.
Yes, we got it, the best Batman Day present we could have asked for. A picture of Batman. But not just any picture of Batman. We get a picture of him in his new suit. So if I understand, this is kind of more of his tactical suit that he has kind of constructed for his adventures in the Justice League film. I guess we get him next to the Batmobile.
Yeah.
This time it doesn't look like there's going to be any sad Batman memes coming out of this one. He's just turned on a lever, which looks like it's, you know, got some electricity going to it.
Yeah, it's sparking something. Who knows what it is?
Yeah. And anyways, you get Batman from the knees up in a nice new suit. What do you think of the suit, Andy?
You know, I'm fine with it. It's a cool looking suit. It's not terribly different. It looks like, I won't say mechanized, but you can see a little bit more armor on there than you could the original bat suit from BVS.
Yeah.
Which we'd heard about already, if you remember from the set reports from Justice League. All the people that had gone to the set had said that Batman's new costume looks a little bit like it's got more armor on it. And I remember them saying something about how he had like a shoulder brace or an arm brace or something. You can kind of see that on his right arm here.
Oh, yeah.
There's some stuff around his forearm and bicep area that looks like a brace. I could be mistaken about that. This is a very dark and moody picture. I wouldn't call it sad Batman, but it certainly hasn't strayed super far from that signature Zack Snyder aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, you mentioned the armor. It kind of almost reminds mm-hmm. me of Arkham Knight when you get kind of your armor upgrade at the beginning of the game, where he gets kind of very much more armor-like suit. Which he's going to need if he's going to team up with Justice League, let's be honest.
Yeah, the other thing we got is the goggles.
Yes, I was going to mention the goggles. What do you think about them?
The goggles are fine. I can only imagine they look a little bit outlandish for a normal Batman suit, I'm going to say. Looks like something out of a cartoon. My prediction will be that he uses those goggles for a purpose, which will be disclosed when we see the movie. Probably like piloting the Flying Fox or the Nightcrawler, one of those crazy vehicles we heard about.
Detective Vision.
Detective Vision would be cool.
Just, I don't know, I was throwing out there.
Yeah.
My only complaint with the goggles is he looks like a Night Owl from Watchmen now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just, I guess it's the whole coloring of the photo and everything too. Just like, I feel like I could stand them next to each other.
Yeah, and I think your point about the coloring is very similar because obviously Zack Snyder directed Watchmen. This photo looks like it could have been ripped out of Watchmen. Just the way the color scheme is, and the aesthetic, and the mood, the tone, it all looks like that. So, sure.
Anyways, that was my only thing. Yeah. And I guess you brought up the point, I wasn't even thinking when I said that, that they both directed the same film,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. But yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just kind of
an interesting thing. No, I suspect we'll not always think he looks like Night Owl.
Yeah.
When we actually see this bat suit in action, or we see Batman moving around, we'll think Batman. We're not gonna think Night Owl.
I mean
Night Owl is based off of Batman, not the other way around, you know.
It's
what
true
I mean?
That's true. No, I'm totally with you. That was just my only thing with the goggles. I was like, hey, it looks like Night Owl.
Yeah, I mean, the goggles, I could take them or leave them, honestly. I don't really care. I'm not one of those people that's like always wanting Batman to have white eyes, just like glowing white eyes. I thought it was cool to see in Batman and Superman, but I don't know.
Yeah, but then we saw him in Suicide Squad and we saw his real eyes. I mean,
yeah.
We saw his a couple of times. Anyways, I think it's a great photo. I'm excited to see it in action.
Yeah, just looks like good. Looks Jordan. Good.
So.
Cool. One tiny last piece of news before we head into the Batman Day celebration. So, you remember the Wonder Woman trailer that we got at Comic-Con?
Oh, do I.
That crazy looking lady who the bottom left portion of her face looked like it was plastic or like
cracked pottery
or something. So anyway, that is a Spanish actress named Elena Anaya, and she was talking with a Spanish website. She did an interview with them basically, and translated roughly, she talks about her role in the movie and says that she's going to be a villain. Like, this isn't huge news. I think most of us were assuming that already.
Yeah,
we still don't know who she is. Do you have any guesses beyond what we already talked about?
I don't, in all honesty, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty baffled. I'm baffled.
I don't know her rogues gallery of sorts.
Yeah. So.
Or if it's someone new, I wouldn't even know.
I guess it's a new villain that we haven't seen, or somebody pulled from, like, Greek mythology, maybe.
That'd be cool.
Because they've already pulled a lot of Greek and Roman mythology for Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she says her father is Zeus. One of her chief antagonists is Ares, the god of war. So who's to say this isn't some lesser known Greek goddess or like Roman goddess that we don't know anything about. But really, I'm not going to make any prediction either way.
Or a child of a goddess.
Yeah, could be.
Or someone similar, like unto Wonder Woman.
Like Percy Jackson.
What?
Just joking, guys. Percy Jackson is in the Wonder Woman movie. You heard it here first.
For better or for worse.
Okay, so it sounds like she won't be playing the main villain, but she described herself as a nightmare for Gal Gadot and Chris Pine. So there you have it. There's your tiny tidbit of Wonder Woman news. So there's a lot more ahead, I'm sure. We've got just 9 months left now.
Is it nine? Okay.
September to June, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Sweet. We can make it. Okay, well...
to our main event.
Here's the main event.
All right. So, we promised you, when we started this episode, a Batman present. Batman Day present. So, we have compiled a list of our top five moments from Batman, from any medium. Could be comics, could be games, could be movies. Just going to keep it spicy. And we're excited to share them with you. I mean, my disclaimer on these lists is they will probably change tomorrow. And
oh yeah, this was hard. This is a hard task.
This is so hard. I hate these lists. I love them because I love talking about them, but I hate the process of having to decide.
Yeah.
And I just feel like my entire
soul. I guess the important thing to remember is this is personal. This is Andy and Taylor's list. You know, these are our favorites. I'm sure you guys have different favorites
than us. And my current favorites.
Yeah, like, it's true.
They change all the time. Anyways, so we have our top five Batman moments to celebrate Batman Day. So you can reminisce with us. We'll say this again at the end of the episode, but we'd love to hear your top five moments. Let us know what they are. We can share them on the show and maybe give us some good reads or some good watches if we haven't seen them yet, or reminisce with you, because we would love to do that.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear your list, guys. So if you're a listener of the show and you're on Twitter, tweet it at us. You can just email it to us at thebatcave@beyondthebatcave.com. Leave it in a comment on our website, beyondthebatcave.com. We'd love to hear your lists as a celebration of Batman Day 2016.
All Indeed. Right. So let's get started. We've narrowed it down to five. I will start with my number five. You want to just go 5-5-4-4?
I think we'll do that. Sounds good. We can go honorable mentions afterwards, huh? Yeah. I've got a couple because, like I said, hard to narrow it down to five, so...
Yeah, we'll do honorable mentions afterwards.
I ended up with nine that I was trying to, like, cram into five spaces.
Yeah, I was with seven, so we'll mention our honorable mentions afterwards. Okay. I guess if we bring up... we'll work out that when we get there. If we have any overlaps, we'll just talk about them.
Sounds good.
Anyways, so my number five is the Batman v Superman fight. Not from BVS, but from Hush.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I just, people always give, like, grief about the one that happens in The Dark Knight Returns and consequently in Batman v Superman because he used kryptonite, he uses the Green Arrow, he puts a nuke in his face, things like that. Just kind of like what some people may deem as cheap shots, and take it or leave it. But Hush, I love this fight because it's just Batman ready for Superman. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of kryptonite, but it's so much more.
Yeah, he didn't really plan for it, you know?
Yeah.
He just showed up.
Yeah. But it shows.
I remember the famous line from that is, you don't come to Metropolis and not be prepared for him as he's putting on the kryptonite ring.
Oh, man. Classic. That's so good. So I just love this fight for so many reasons because it shows how Batman's prepared for anything. I love it when you can get in his head at any time he's fighting. Just like here, like there's the part where he's blowing punches to Superman and he says, one more punch and I'll fracture my hand.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to switch it up now. And so I love getting in Batman's head as you're fighting.
His inner monologue is so good.
It's so good. And so you get a little bit of that, and you just get his strategy and also his attitude. And I just, another famous line from that fight is the big difference between, I'm paraphrasing here, but the big difference between me and Superman is deep down he's a good person, and deep down I'm not. And that's how he's able to exploit and get the upper hand on Superman, but also help Superman break free of Poison Ivy's control.
Yeah.
So I love it for a lot of reasons. That was mine.
As long as we're talking about that line, I think that's the one part of Hush that I'm not a huge fan of, is that he says that, because I think that's kind of a disservice to Batman, the character. I think he is a good person. Maybe he doesn't realize he is, and that's the point.
Yeah.
But I think maybe something more accurate for a reader would be like, the difference between me and Clark is that there are lines he won't cross, and there aren't any lines for me, you know?
Yeah.
You remember the way he wins that fight is he sends Catwoman up to the top of the Daily Planet and tosses Lois Lane off a building. Like, she could have died, but Batman will cross that line because he's Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's a good person, for the record.
Yeah, but he might not tell you that himself, as you said. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so that's my number five. Let's hear yours.
Cool. So my number five comes from, let's see, the run was entitled JLA back in the 90s, written by Grant Morrison. And this is from, I think it's like issue number four or five. But my favorite moment from that is essentially what's going on is there's this group of superheroes that show up to start saving the Earth. And they do all these cool things that nobody's ever thought of before. The planet starts getting a little bit disillusioned with the Justice League, basically. And they're like, well, these new heroes are a lot better. And Batman is so suspicious of them, and nobody can figure out why. And it comes to a head eventually when these new superheroes invade the Watchtower, where the Justice League is. And they pretty much trap everybody up there, except nobody knows where Batman is, because he's so stealthy. And then these three of them come around a corner, and they find a fourth, just unconscious in a circle of fire with a note pinned to his chest that says, like, I know your secret, or I know what you are, or something. Batman just, like, takes out these ultra-powerful beings and just leaves, like, basically a corpse on the floor just as a message to the other ones. Sent chills up and down my spine the first time I read it. It's about as cool as Batman has ever been in comics, so highly recommend you read that. Justice League of America, but it just says JLA on the cover. And it's like number one through five is that run, but super good. One of the things that convinced me that Batman is the best.
Awesome. That's a great run. I actually haven't read JLA before, so I'll put that
on my list. Yeah, put it on the list. There's so many good Batman moments. Like, Batman has such a big stable of awesome moments in his history because he's just such a beloved character. Like, it's impossible that we're both going to have read everything and know everything about it.
Exactly. And I'm relatively fresh to the comic book scene for Batman. Just haven't been a heavy reader. And so a lot of mine come from the other medium, but I'm so excited to get into, and I love that everybody else is kind of getting into with Rebirth, like all the good reads that are out there, because there's so many good moments.
Yeah, very true. I still haven't read Batman number six. You've been badgering me about that.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll read it tonight,
that probably. That might cause a problem for our list here.
Oh, I can read it really quick. I'm just joking. I don't mind it. Okay, what's your number four, Taylor?
My number four comes from Batman Arkham Origins, actually. Comes from, it's kind of two parts.
Yeah.
It's broken up by a boss fight. Anyways, you get to the top of the penthouse where you know the Joker is, and it's the first kind of formal meeting that, I guess it's still informal, but really this only the second time you've met the Joker ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it for two reasons. One is you meet the Joker and he blows up that building, and Batman gets a sense of, like, how deranged this guy is and how off his rocker. He just grabs Joker and says, how many lives did you just take? Mm-hmm. And he's just ready to, like, you know, he hasn't faced someone like this before.
Yeah.
But even more than that, what I love is after you fight Bane and whatnot, Joker falls off the penthouse, Batman goes and saves him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they land, I just love this moment. It's more of a Joker moment than a Batman moment, but it's their chemistry.
Yeah.
He just says, why would you do that? Like, why would you save me? And he has two goons next to him, and he takes them both out. And he says, those were two very bad men who deserve to die, just like I deserve to die. And it's just like this moment of heat chemistry where Joker first finds out about Batman's rule, you know,
yeah,
you can call that, of no killing. And he's just baffled by it, because that's not how the Joker thinks or works at all. And so I just love that chemistry of, A, Batman's willing to save the Joker even though he just blew up a building, but also just their first encounters and figuring each other out is just really good. So that was mine.
Very nice. I'll make a commentary there. I think someday we should do an episode about these games, maybe all separately, maybe all together. I'm not sure. We can think about that later.
Yeah.
I just want to say Arkham Origins has my favorite storyline of all those games.
Oh, it's definitely the most solid, the most memorable.
I think so. Just watching Batman meet the Joker for the first time, it was very well done, considering it wasn't even Rocksteady. Yeah. A lot of people looked at Arkham Origins as kind of a money grab by Warner Brothers there.
Yeah.
But I really think that the story of that game was something special. I remember the story of that game better than all the other ones, for sure.
That's true, yeah. And even, like, mm-hmm, I don't know, if you're thinking about memorable trailers, I feel like that's my most memorable trailer, too. The one with Deathstroke and Black, yeah, Mask and Deadshot.
Very true.
It's my favorite, so.
All right. Go out and play Arkham Origins if you haven't played it.
Yeah, and the rest. They're all great.
All right. My number four. So this one comes from Final Crisis, which was back in, like, 2007, 2008. A big event. I won't go through the whole thing. It's pretty long and kind of complicated, but the antagonist of this is Darkseid. He's finally got his hands on that anti-life equation that he's always going after. And he's holed up in this place that he thinks is safe. And who does he find confronting him but Batman? And Darkseid, like, pokes some fun at him. You know, what are you going to do, you puny little human? I don't know what he actually says. I can't remember. But Batman kind of gives a little monologue about how he made a very solemn vow about firearms. Then he draws a weird alien-looking gun and says that he's going to make an exception. And he's got this bullet. I don't remember what it is about the bullet that makes it so special. I probably should have brushed up on this before we started recording. But essentially, it's a bullet that can actually kill Darkseid. Batman shoots him right in the heart as the Omega beams close in on either side of his head and Batman is fried to death. It's later to be revealed that he was just sent back in time. Obviously, he didn't die. But it's a great moment. It gave me chills when I read it again. Just the fact that he stares down Darkseid so unflinchingly, shoots him right in the heart. He probably hasn't used a gun since he vowed that he wouldn't, and he just... Obviously, he's a great marksman. Batman's good at everything.
Oh, yeah.
Shoots him right in the heart. And it's a good moment, too, when Superman flies into where they were, tears apart the building, and comes out with just a skeleton dressed in the bat suit. It was heartbreaking. Anyway, that was my number four moment, shooting Darkseid right in the heart.
Man, absolutely riveting.
It was really cool.
Awesome.
So I highly recommend everybody read Final Crisis. I will say my opinion of that one moment is higher than my opinion of the book in general. I don't...
Well, I think that's true for, yeah, a lot of these moments, you know.
Like, yeah, that's true.
You can take one moment and say, that was awesome, that made this worth it,
mm-hmm,
you know, but not necessarily. These aren't, like, our favorite stories as a whole, necessarily.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, my number three is the warehouse fight from Batman v Superman, actually.
I like that scene.
I love that scene. In my opinion, this is my favorite scene of the film. Just because I came in on, you know, Team Batman.
Yeah,
I knew how it was kind of going to pan out. But anyways, this is just where we got to see Batman in his best in here. Because he has to fight a certain way to fight Superman, and it's not really standard Batman. But here, I mostly love, my favorite part of this scene is actually just how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's waiting for him outside that door. And then he comes up from beneath them.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Takes out all of their guns. But my favorite part is that they still think he's down there.
Mm-hmm.
So they start shooting in the hole, and then he comes from up top and starts, you know, rampaging on everybody.
Oh, it's so great.
And it's just a long, drawn-out scene, but not too long. It just feels great every second of it. And, yeah, that was my favorite part of the scene. Also coming in from the wall to grab that guy and his gun. And just even ending with,
yeah,
KG Beast, like, I believe you.
I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or on Twitter, but I was making the observation that I don't think I saw either Batman or Superman use a door one time in the whole movie. I think every time you see them enter a building, it's through the ceiling, the floor, or the wall.
Windows.
Yeah. Or, yeah, crashing through a window. Like, I literally can't remember any time they walk through a door, except for Clark right at the beginning.
Like, even when he goes into the apartment. Yeah. That's funny. I don't think you said that. That's great. But yeah, that's my number three. I love that scene. And being an Arkham fan, too, it just, like, felt like that same feeling of, like, this is how Batman fights, you know?
And it was great. That was cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have more to say about that later.
Oh, all right.
Well, let's not get super excited. It's an honorable mention, okay?
Okay.
So I'll talk a little bit about it when we talk honorable mentions. Okay, that was your number three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my number three is actually somewhat similar in tone to yours in that it comes from The Dark Knight Returns.
Ah.
So let me just give you a little bit of background here. I just want to show you, the listeners, why this is a powerful moment, not just for me, but for everybody. So, let's go back in the time machine here, back to the summer of 2013, San Diego Comic-Con. There's a Warner Brothers panel there. Everybody thinks they're going to announce a Man of Steel sequel or something. Zack Snyder brings, I can't remember who it was, I'm sorry, but he brings somebody with an incredible voice out on the stage to read something, and we don't know what he's going to read, but we know it has to do with Man of Steel 2 probably. I wasn't there for this. I just saw it on YouTube, like, the day after. So, anyway, what happens? He starts reading, and we hear him say, like, I want you to remember in your most private moments. And then you just hear people gasping, like, what? What is he reading that? That's a Batman quote. I want you to remember the one man who beat you, my hand at your throat. You know what I'm talking about. And then people realize what's going on. They start screaming because nobody had realized until this moment how much we wanted to see Batman beat the crap out of Superman on the screen. And he finishes the quote, and then up on the screen, right there in the front of Hall H, there's the Man of Steel logo, and it fades back a little bit, and we see that it's totally ensconced by a massive bat symbol that none of us had seen before, and the crowd goes wild. It was electrifying. That's where it comes into, like, geek culture. It was used right there to announce Batman v Superman, you know? And this is actually one of the things that got me into comics. I always would argue with my friends when I was a kid if Batman could be Superman. I didn't really know. And then I find out that they did fight in the comics, which wasn't, like, that uncommon. But this happened to be the one that I stumbled across. There was a guy that I lived close to him, and he showed me this panel from The Dark Knight Returns of Batman just giving that horrible left cross to Superman right across the face, kicking him in the chin, and then saying that was, like, the first thing I'd ever seen. It's like, wow, this is amazing. This is kind of what brought me into Batman comics, and it's a great line, and it proved once and for all that Batman can take anybody down. This is what's always cited when people talk about that.
That's true. Yeah, that's what everybody refers to. So, yeah, it's always the eternal debate of, like, Batman or Superman, and just so I love that it always comes up. And that's a great way to introduce that scene and just kind of the emotion that's behind it.
Yeah, if you're a fan of this DC Extended Universe, even if you're just a fan of the DC characters, you have to watch the way they announced Batman v Superman at 2013 San Diego Comic Con. It's outrageous, like, the energy that's felt, the anticipation in the room. You'll feel like you were there, even though you're just watching it on YouTube. I could not think of a better way they could have done that outside of bringing out, like, Ben Affleck in the bat suit.
Yeah.
Having him, like, uppercut Henry Cavill into a spiky ceiling or something, like Mortal Kombat. That might have gone too far.
Anyways, that's a great scene. I mean, it's tough to top that. That's pretty great. It's pretty iconic. Even not comic book listeners, kind of, or readers, know about that scene and know.
Yeah, it's true.
About that, and it's great.
That was a groundbreaking moment for comics as well. Like, it was turning the tide of comics towards more of what we know today.
Yeah,
very influential.
Awesome. Well, that was a great pick. I love it. Onward and upward we go. My number two is coming from The Dark Knight. I love this movie, as many people do. A lot of people cite it as their favorite Batman movie or their favorite movie. I don't know if you saw, I don't think we mentioned this on the show, but they did, like, a Twitter poll of like people's favorite movie period.
It was like a hashtag that was just trending on Twitter.
Yeah, and The Dark Knight actually was Twitter's favorite movie. So
I'm not really surprised. I haven't met almost anybody that doesn't like The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah. And so, anyways, I love The Dark Knight. It's kind of fueled my Batman love more than it already was. Anyways, the scene that I've picked, the moment, is the very end of The Dark Knight. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Dark Knight, I mean, it's almost 10 years old now. So, I mean, go out and watch it. Anyways.
Are you kidding me? It's almost 10 years old?
It's 2008.
It's 8 years old.
2016, my friend.
What are you doing to me?
I'm sorry. Anyways. So, the end, Commissioner Gordon comes down after Batman and Two-Face have leaped off of the construction building together. The ruins of where Rachel was.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about, Gordon's just like, oh, the Joker won. He took the best of us and he ruined him. Took him away from us. And just this whole Batman's putting, he has to keep people's faith in something, and it can't be him, because the people of Gotham had so much faith in Harvey Dent, and he was such, you know, their white knight. And so I just love this moment, I guess from this moment on to the end of the film, which is, you know, a whole 32 seconds, but where he says, I killed those men, the Joker cannot win, because sometimes the truth isn't good enough. People deserve to be rewarded for their faith. Sometimes people deserve more. And I just love that. Like, and you're seeing all these scenes, too, of, like, you even see Lucius Fox walking away as the computer explodes and he types his name in, you know, talking about being rewarded for your faith. And then just, of course, the iconic end of the end is when he starts running. And James Gordon Jr., you know, why is he running, Dad? Because we have to chase him. But he didn't do anything, because he's the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs right now. So we'll hunt him because he can take it. Because he's not our hero, he's a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a dark knight. And I just love that a lot. As I was reviewing this, what I really love about it is just that Batman's willing to take the blame. He's willing to have the faith of his city over the image of himself. Yeah. That's never what it was really about. You mentioned the animated series earlier, and one of the episodes that I love, there's this lawyer that is trying to take out Batman. And at the end of the episode, she says, you know, I'm still going to work towards a world that doesn't need a Batman anymore. And he says, so am I. And so he sees him getting thrown under the bus, essentially, as a way for people of Gotham to still have faith in humanity and faith in each other and faith in goodness and things turning around. Anyway, so it was long and drawn out, but I just really love that scene.
I'm not one to fault you for long and drawn out speeches. Like, look at what I just did with Dark Knight Returns. Anyway, I have no comment on this moment for now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just move on.
Sweet. What is your number two?
Okay, my number two comes from Justice League Unlimited, the animated series. This is my favorite episode of this whole series, I think. I can't wait until we talk about it more in depth, but I just want to point out one moment from it. The episode itself, it kind of serves as a faux conclusion to Batman Beyond, because that series just didn't get wrapped up the way the creators wanted it to, I guess. I'm not really familiar with the history of that right there, but Terry McGinnis breaks into Amanda Waller's house to talk to her about Bruce Wayne, and this whole episode is pretty much Amanda Waller just reminiscing about how remarkable a man Bruce Wayne is. And there's a point where she's talking about this mission they've been on where the Royal Flush Gang is causing all kinds of mischief. And the Royal Flush Gang has all kinds of members that kind of rotate through it, and they have essentially manufactured superpowers. And there's one member that stays the same, and her name is Ace. She's a little, you remember her, the little girl?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so she's got all kinds of mind-bending powers. She turns this whole park into like an Alice in Wonderland place. And so Amanda Waller gives Batman this weapon that can kill her, that can kill Ace, so that everything can go back to normal. And so Batman goes in all by himself, presumably to kill Ace, and he gets in there, and Ace says to him something along the lines of, you're not going to use the weapon that Waller gave me. gave you on me. And he's like, no, I'm not. And he goes and sits down by her on the swing set. And she knows that Batman wasn't there to kill her. He was just there to do the right thing. And this is my favorite aspect of this character of Batman. At the end of the day, he's just a human. You know, he's got flaws. He's got all kinds of strengths. But he's just a guy trying to do the right thing. He sits down next to Ace. And Ace asks if she'll stay there until she dies. Because she was on her way to dying of like a brain aneurysm or something already. And Batman just sits with her until she passes away naturally. And he comes back out. The weapon's still intact. No, I think he broke it and threw it away. But anyway, he hasn't used it. And he's just carrying her little body. And I remember that being a really chilling moment to me as a kid. And then I watched it several more times recently. It's Batman's finest moment from the Justice League series, I'm convinced. Just shows the character of the man under the mask, which I love. I kind of prefer moments like that to the slightly more insane Batman that we find in, like, Definitely. The Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. Even Batman v Superman, to a degree. He's not fully there upstairs. Like, he's
yeah,
just...
totally.
So I really like the way he was portrayed right here, and just the strength of character he showed to not go kill a little girl just because Amanda Waller says to do it, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. I don't have a lot to say about that scene. I personally don't think I've seen that episode myself, but I've heard it talked about quite a bit.
And oh yeah, it's one of the best.
Even outside of just Batman moments himself, I think any compilation of lists people have made of greatest DCAU moments,
oh, yeah.
That's always on there.
It's just so good.
I think there was one, I didn't watch it, I just saw it existed, but that was the picture of it on YouTube was... like, times where DCAU just made us cry. And it's just one of those moments. So I thought that was great. Great moment. I can't wait till we can review that one.
Yeah, we're a couple seasons away from it still.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get there in
a couple years.
In 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. But no, that was a good segue to mine as well, because it's kind of along the same lines of the human Batman. You're going to have to tell me how much I can say about it, though, because it's from issue number 6 of Batman Rebirth.
All right, here's what we'll do. I don't like spoilers, so I'm going to walk out of the room. Like, this is happening. Okay. I'm just going to walk out of here. I'm going to let Taylor talk about it. I'm going to come back in when you say the code word, which will be battering. Just say it really loud.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Let me do a spoiler-free version while you're okay. here. Just saying why.
I'm just really nervous, Taylor.
Don't worry about it.
All right, go ahead.
Or here's what we'll do. I'll do a spoiler-free version right here, and then after we record, I'll just say my other thoughts about it. No, I'll just do a spoiler-free version.
Okay, fine.
As best I can. I mean, it's...
You know, that's true, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that haven't read Batman number 6 yet.
Right.
Okay.
And it's an epilogue to 1 through 5. So, I mean, if you've read 1 through 5, you kind of already know what's going to happen. So.
Gotcha.
Anyways... Batman number 6 is dealing with the repercussions of Batman 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an epilogue to close the story. And basically the reason I love it, Batman has a moment with Gotham Girl where you really just get, in my opinion, one of the most human Batman moments that has ever been on ink. And I just really, I know it's really fresh. It was hard for me to put it up at number one, but maybe it's up there because it's so fresh for me.
Yeah.
But just this emotion and this empathy that he has in this moment just kind of tears away any fear that anyone would have about Batman. And kind of in the same level of Ace there, just having that completely human side. There,
mm-hmm.
And just realizing that he is human and he does feel pain. And I think one of the things it does too, actually through the words that Gotham Girl says before his, is really just you understand in a greater, deeper sense why Batman tries to save Gotham. I mean, there's lots of reasons, but
okay.
Gotham the city, not Gotham the character.
For sure.
But oh. Yeah. Anyways.
We just shared a knowing glance for those of you who can't see us right now, which is the vast majority of you. I won't tell you who we're secretly inviting to sit in on our recording sessions.
Anyways, so that's my number one. We'll talk about it more when you read it, but
Yeah, I'll read it tonight.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand it right now. This is number one on your list, and I don't even know what it is.
Like, like I said, I'm new to the comic book scene.
Yeah.
And so, like, I haven't had time to read a lot of these stories multiple times, but issue number six, I'm reading that final scene, like, two or three times already. Partially to get ready for this, but just, I wanted to soak it in and make it.
That's totally fine, you know?
Part
like
of my heart.
Nostalgia is real for lots of people. It's like, Batman R.I.P., is right up there. It's one of my favorite graphic novels. Not until I read a lot more did I find out that Batman R.I.P. is the weirdest thing you could possibly read.
It makes zero sense.
It's mind-bending, but it's always going to be up there as one of my favorites because it was the first Batman comic I read, you know? Mm-hmm. Always remember flying home from Washington, D.C., reading that bad boy on a plane, and before the plane landed, I was like, I need more of this in my life. And I couldn't get it because I was on a plane. It was killing me. Okay. Well.
So let's hear your number one, Andy.
My number one moment, we have already talked about a little bit. So now that Taylor's gone on a long, drawn-out monologue, I will do it as well. On my notes here, it just says, call it in, because that's my favorite part of this scene, which is obviously the ending of The Dark Knight, which is not my absolute favorite Batman movie, but it's probably number two. It's right there. What can I say about this scene? It's not only my favorite Batman moment, I think it's one of the most transcendent moments in superhero cinema. I've never felt anything like I did when I watched that movie and saw this scene for the first time. I couldn't believe after I watched Batman struggle and fight against the Joker and against the mob for 2.5 hours that he was willing to sacrifice his reputation and the symbol of the Batman in a heartbeat, just because that was the only way to do what he had to do.
Because, I mean, that's what he's been fighting for the entire time, is to kind of get people on his side and not shoot at him, not try to take him down, not anything. But anyways, as
it were. Let me speak more to the art of the actual filmmaking here. Now, Chris Nolan's probably my favorite director. That might be because I know more about his movies than I do anybody else's movies. The art and making of the Dark Knight trilogy is like one of my top five favorite books. It's amazing. It's up there with actual novels that I like to read. But the way that this scene is put together, you can tell that this is the vision of one man, that he had this glorious stroke of inspiration and he followed that vision through and made it his own all the way until the end. It stands out in stark contrast. Like, I love Suicide Squad and BVS, but if you watch those movies, you can tell the fingerprints of somebody else are on them. Like, BVS got cut way up because of time constraints, editing, whatever. But this final scene of The Dark Knight, you can tell that Chris Nolan was not letting anybody near that. He did that all himself, because the things that are in there are so perfect. It starts with them having this conversation about how Harvey Dent, the things he can did, nobody can ever know. And then right when Batman, I think it's on that line, no one can ever know what he did, the bass kicks in to the music and it shifts from the sad piano that, you know, James Newton Howard wrote to the Hans Zimmer Batman theme. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, totally.
A Dark Knight, I think, is what that track is called on the soundtrack. Or A Silent Guardian, maybe.
I think it's Dark Knight. It's A Dark Knight.
Anyway. Just that shift in the music, it's almost imperceptible if you're soaked up in the movie, but it's a touch of genius. And then after that, this is my favorite part. Batman describes why he's going to take this sacrifice. I won't say the words again because you already did, but he'd pulled the radio away from Gordon because Gordon was about to call something in when he found Batman on the ground, thought he was dead. Batman takes his hand off the radio, stops him from calling it in. Then, after he's explained what he is to do, he pushes the radio back into Gordon's chest and says, call it in. And that's when he runs off. The kid comes down, Batman! You know, it's just heartbreaking. This is right up there with the greatest scenes in cinema history for me.
I think so, too.
I know that I have a highly biased opinion, but this is one of the few scenes that's ever brought me close to tears. Someday we'll talk about The Dark Knight Rises, which did bring me to tears. But, yeah, I feel like I'm just rambling. I can't describe it. If you haven't seen The Dark Knight, you need to see it. I watched this last scene on YouTube today just to remember if it was as good as...
It is.
It is. Oh, it gave me goosebumps up and down again. Guys, I have seen this movie well clear of 60 times, and it still gave me goosebumps. It's crazy. Anyway, that's number one. No questions for me.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
At least until I read Batman number 6, when I'll apparently have my mind changed by this upstart Tom King.
I don't want to build it up too much for you. Like I said, maybe it'll change in a week, but... Yeah. I just loved it a lot, and it's my kind of favorite tone of Batman.
Cool.
Anyways.
Should we throw out a quick honorable mentions to the ones that got left off the list?
Yeah, I just have two, so let me throw them down.
Okay.
My number 6 is when Scarecrow in Batman Begins gets a taste of his own medicine.
That's a good one.
That's such a good moment, especially when you see Batman, and because I feel like, I know there's fear toxin involved, but I feel like part of that is what villains actually see when they see Batman. Like, just this, their amygdala kicks in, and all the fear centers of their brains are firing, and that they see this dark demon.
Absolutely. The fear toxin scenes are so cool in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how well the special effects hold up. Like, 11 years later, I watched that recently, and it still looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because they're practical, they're not... Yeah, anyways. So I love that scene. My number 7 is from Mask of the Phantasm.
I almost put this one on my list too. Yeah. I thought of it.
Oh yeah, and I was watching it, and it's again just one of those like human Bruce Wayne moments. Anyways, the scene that comes to my mind was after he gets broken up with from his former fiance. You see Alfred and Bruce in the Batcave, and he's putting on the suit for the first time, and Alfred hands him the mask, and he turns around, and Alfred just like drops whatever he's holding and gasps.
Yeah, it's like a tray of tea or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Very quaint British. It's Earl Grey tea. Hashtag confirmed.
Oh, of course it is. Anyways, but just the moment of seeing him, and I mean, oh man, just the emotion of sad Batman, sad Bruce, but he's going out there to like solve everybody else's problems. Anyways.
Oh, we need... Absolutely have to do an episode about Mask of the Phantasm.
We will.
Okay.
So, anyways, those were my two honorable mentions. There's lots more.
Those are great honorable mentions, let me say.
Cool. What's your yours?
Okay, one of mine you already mentioned, so I won't talk about it again. It was just the Martha fight from Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
I'll just call out one part. I like when he's fighting four guys at once, and he throws a double punch in perpendicular angles. It looks beautiful. Okay, so that was on there. One of my other honorable mentions is from The Long Halloween, the celebrated graphic novel by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. This one's an absolute classic. You gotta read it. But it kind of, all the different chapters are named after holidays. And on the Thanksgiving one, I think it is. I didn't bother to look this one up before either. I was just kind of going off my memory. But Solomon Grundy's in that part, and Batman encounters him in the sewer, and he really takes pity on this poor zombie-ous fool down there. And he leaves a plate of turkey dinner for Solomon Grundy just sitting there on the sewer grate, which I thought was just so nice of him. Just an incredibly decent man. So I put that as an honorable mention.
I love it.
It's a really cool moment. You don't see stuff like that very often.
Totally.
He give Thanksgiving dinner to a zombie. Anyway, very cool. Another one I had was from... This is from the recent Scott Snyder run on Batman. It's from Volume 7, Endgame, the very first part when the Justice League has been infected with the Joker toxin and they come to fight Batman and kill him. And in quick succession, we see Batman take down Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash. Am I missing somebody? Have you read that one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
But... It's like he was waiting for it, yes. Mm-hmm. Then Superman shows up like to cap it all off. And it doesn't say he specifically defeats Superman because in his inner monologue he says, I always ask myself who would win in a fight between us, and the answer is always neither one. Like
so true.
And it ends with them falling out of the sky into the ocean after Batman spits some kryptonite gum into Superman's eye or something. But it's a great Batman moment. Because he really takes down Wonder Woman and The Flash and Aquaman. Like, they had no chance.
And it was, like, in the matter of 2 seconds with each of them. I mean, Wonder Woman caught him by surprise, so that one took a little longer. But mm-hmm. Flash and Aquaman, it's like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you know, like, instantly took him down.
Yeah.
So, very, very cool.
I don't think Lantern was there. I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember either.
Anyway, sorry, tangent.
All right. So then my very last one. This one's not really a Batman moment. It just goes to speak for the respect that all the other DC characters have for Batman. This takes place also in that New 52 run, and I think it's Volume 3, Throne of Atlantis is what it's called. So this is like recently after the Justice League is formed. So Batman and Aquaman are new acquaintances. And in Aquaman's absence from Atlantis, they have declared war on the surface world. Does that sound familiar to anybody? We just barely talked about an episode of Justice League that just happened. Anyway, so Orm is down there declaring war on the surface world. Batman and Aquaman are zooming around in a submarine. And this torpedo or like long distance missile comes up from underwater and strikes the submarine that they're in. And Batman's like, holy cow, they're gunning for you? That's pretty traitorous. And Aquaman reveals that they were not trying to shoot him, they were trying to get Batman. Because Aquaman, before he came up to the surface, he wrote the plans, like the war plans. So the game plan for Atlantis is, first things first, let's kill Batman. He's the biggest threat up there. Then let's deal with the rest of humanity. So like the very first thing that happens is they shoot a missile at Batman. And Aquaman's like, yeah, I really respected you. I thought you were very dangerous back when I was down there. So I thought that was just really cool.
That's awesome.
Especially because in this New 52 run, Batman and Aquaman were very much at odds all the time. They were always fighting about, you know, Aquaman says, I'm a king, I should lead the Justice League. Batman's like, I don't care if you're a king, I'm best suited to do it. So it was cool to see that little bit of respect between the two.
Awesome.
Anyway, those are my honorable mentions.
Great. Well, this has been fun. I love this a lot. Got some good reads for some ones I haven't read yet, and just got to reminisce about all my favorite Batman moments.
Good stuff.
So, like we said, listeners, we want to hear your top 5 or top 3, top 10, whatever you got. Just throw them at us. And we would love to read them out here on the podcast and talk about it. Or, you know, maybe delve into something new that we haven't encountered yet. Because there's so much Batverse out there. It's great.
Cool. So I think that'll about wrap it up for now.
Yeah.
If you've got questions, you know where to get us. We're on Twitter, at Beyond Batcave, then the Facebook, and our website, beyondthebatcave.com. So we'll leave it right there. So I'm Andy Piper, and this is Taylor Jackson, and we are signing off.